to Shattering Mist. It's always my pleasure to be able to welcome one of my very favorite people to the program, IQ Al-Rasuli, on the second hour on Friday. No one understands Islam and its influence on our world, its influence on Muslims, its direct correlation to killing, to terrorism, to destructiveness, than IQ Al-Rasuli. He is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, in which he organizes what Muhammad said and did by topic, and introduces us to the truth regarding Islam from a topical perspective. It is the he uses exactly the same strategy, but approaching it by topic as opposed to chronology. In Prophet of Doom, for those who have read Prophet of Doom, we go to exactly the same sources. There are really only five, six if you stretch it. There's the Quran and the Sunnah sources, which are comprised of the biography of Muhammad, the history of Islam, and the two topical hadith collections. We use the same material, but IQ in his books has arranged that topically so that you could come to understand the religion by subject, and I arranged Prophet of Doom chronologically. IQ, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What I would like to do is to play some portion of a clip. It's one that you forwarded to me earlier in the week. It to introduce it, and Scott's going to play it for us, and I want you to comment on it. It is a an imam, which would be an Islamic religious leader, and not just any Islamic religious leader. This is an imam over Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is called the furthest mosque, and a reference to the Quran in terms of Muslims building their temple to the devil right on top of Yahweh's Temple Mount, which is their nature. They built this monstrosity on the Temple Mount, and in front of it, this Islamic religious leader is, after shouting Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater, they begin a chant that says, death and destruction to America, death and destruction to Britain and to France, and they go on and on. And I'd like to play a little bit of this and then have you comment on it. Scott, please.
Allahu Akbar! Khilwat America! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Khilwat America!
IQ, the floor is yours. What did he say, and why should we be concerned?
Well, all he was saying, and I want Americans to understand something very important. Every single mosque in every corner of the earth, every Friday, every imam will do the same thing. That is inciting the Muslims against people who are not Muslim.
Yes.
Those people who are not Muslim constitute today 80% of humanity. All Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, anybody who's not a Muslim.
Oh, by the way,
it
would also include all peaceful Muslims, because the Ninth Surah defines a peaceful Muslim as Allah's most horrid enemy.
Absolutely true. Yeah. What he was shouting was, death and destruction to America. Death and destruction to France. Death and destruction to Britain. Now, the only one he missed was death and destruction to Israel. Why? Because he was reciting it from the Aqsa Mosque within the Israeli territory. And he knew if he said anything against Israel in such public manner, there would be repercussions.
This is true. And so we have the Secretary of State of the United States in Israel now, trying to convince the Israelis that they should sacrifice Jerusalem and the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, to these very people. This was a quote-unquote mythical person known as a Palestinian, surrounded by mythical Palestinians that were stating death to America. So here you have the Secretary of State of America trying to reward these individuals that want America destroyed with their own state and carved out of Israel. Is that rational?
No, nothing about the Obama administration is rational. By the way, while you're talking about the Secretary of State, two generals of the United States Armed Forces, one of them a general of the Marines, made statements only a day ago that they hold Israel responsible for the lack of love of Arabs towards America. Mm-hmm. These are generals.
Right.
Who have never studied the Quran, have never studied Islam, and came to conclusions which are contrary to logic. These people hate America whether Israel exists or not. This imam was reciting what the Quran tells him to recite.
Correct.
Israel is immaterial to the hate emanating from Islam. Immaterial to America, immaterial to Europe, and immaterial to 80% of humanity.
Now,
Israel is a red herring.
Yeah, we agree, but not completely on this issue. It is true. Everything you've said is true. It doesn't change the fact that the most hated individuals, other than peaceful Muslims, in the Quran are Jews. Allah refers to Jews as apes and pigs. Allah says of Jews that he made them ugly by putting their asses on their faces. I mean, he is just a revolting deity. And his only predictions of the last days have rocks screaming out, "There's a Jew behind me, kill him." There is nothing that Allah, the wannabe God of the Quran, hates more than Jews. You know, and he's duplicitous by this. By the way, he calls them, they are my chosen people. I gave them the land of Israel, but you ought to go kill them. And so there is it's impossible to disassociate the hatred of Jews from the Quran and Hadith. Isn't that not true?
Absolutely true. By the way, I produced once 19 A4 pages of verses of the Quran against the Jews.
Okay. Now, before Israel was reestablished as the Jewish homeland, before that occurred, when Muhammad was given the opportunity to interact with the Jews, there were three Jewish communities in Yathrib, today's Medina. Is that not true? Okay, so before Israel re-existed as a place and the Jews were allowed to return to Israel, at the time that the Byzantines actually occupied Israel, did Muhammad show animosity to the Jews?
He exterminated them.
Yeah, he exterminated them. The first Jewish community he expelled, sent out to the desert to die, and he robbed them of their property and possessions. And that first Jewish community he sent out to the desert to die, they regrouped in a place called Kabar, where Muhammad later exterminated them, raping their women, enslaving the children, killing the men. The second and third community of Jews in Yathrib, according to the Quran and the Hadith, Muhammad just went and butchered them. Murdering, cold blood.
Correct. But I want Americans to understand, and you mentioned Allah this, Allah that, Allah. Allah is Muhammad.
Yes.
This is so important, Americans understand. There is no God called Allah.
Correct.
Well, it is not the God of Israel or Jesus or Abraham. Allah and Muhammad are one and the same.
Yeah.
So when you say that Allah said so, and why he changed his mind, for two reasons. For one reason, in fact, not two.
Yeah.
In the Mecca period, when Muhammad was a weak person, had very considerable reverses. When he became the head of the first organized crime syndicate in human history in Medina, the verses of the Medina overruled, unsikhat, abrogated, all 124 earlier verses which were conciliatory from Mecca.
I'm going to have to correct you on one thing. There is no Jesus. We spent the first hour of our program emphasizing this. That's a name that was created in the 17th century. But we're just not going to use that name on this program without it being challenged. His name is Yahusha, and it means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is the name of the God of Abraham, Yishak, and Jacob. Yahweh is the author of the Torah. Allah was conceived by Muhammad, Muhammad's alter ego, to be directly opposed to Yahweh. He is the antithesis of Yahweh to the extent that he is even thought to be divine. And, of course, he isn't. He's just an extension of Muhammad's warped imagination. All right, so before Yehudim, Jews, were allowed to immigrate back into Yehuda, their homeland, Judah, Muhammad hated Jews sufficiently that he killed the men, raped the women, and sold the children into slavery and financed his new religion with stolen property from Yehudim. In fact, without being a menace to Yehudim, to Jews, Islam doesn't even exist. That's how it was financed. That's how it was able to arm and equip itself to go on these raids. Now, what happened, IQ? After Muhammad had overhunted Jews, after he had wiped out every Jewish community within camel ride of Mecca and Medina, and in the ninth surah, the second to the last allegedly handed down, does the Quran and did Muhammad come up with a new enemy after he had overhunted Jews? Yeah, but he actually isolated in the ninth and the fifth surah a very specific group of people that he said would be their next target. In fact, he renamed the concept of infidel was said is now going to be applied to a different group of people. Those who say that he absolutely he used the a corruption for the term Messiah to refer to Christians and to say that they are now the enemy, they are the infidel, which is why they hate America. So welcome back to Shatteringness. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with IQ Al-Rasuli. IQ, there's a reason that I began this program by talking about our different approaches to the same material. You by topic, I by chronology. There is something that we can learn here that from both. By topic, you know that Muhammad hated Jews. He hunted them as prey. He raped their women. He enslaved their children, and he killed the men so that he could steal and confiscate their property in terrorist raids. And you know that for certain because there are just thousands of hadith and Quran statements to this regard. And you know that in the ninth and the fifth surahs of the Quran, the enemy of Islam and infidel is redefined as Christian. And that there are hundreds of Quran and hadith statements of Muhammad telling Muslims that they need now to go and to raid Byzantine Christian communities and calling the Christians the enemy of Islam. Now, the advantage of doing this chronologically is that what you can find is that after Muhammad overhunted Jews, so there were no more Jews to plunder, to rape, and to murder, that he turned his new religion's bloodlust against Christians, the Byzantine community, which is why the ninth and the fifth surahs were revealed. So when we talk about Muslims ranting against America, is it not because America, in their mind, represents Christianity on earth today?
Yes, by the way, he hunted the Christians of Arabia before he went to the Byzantines.
Yes.
By the way, I mean, it's very important Americans understand something. The Christians of Arabia were indigenous, native Arabs who willingly converted to the religion of Jesus or Christian.
Well, there is no Jesus, and Yosha did not have a religion. There is no association whatsoever between Christianity and Yosha. Yosha was Torah observant. No Christian is Torah observant. But there were, unfortunately, a religion called Christianity did emerge. It emerged post-Constantine in the early to mid-4th century. And that was still hundreds of years before Muhammad corrupted Arabia. And so, yes, there were Arabs who had been corrupted by this religion of Christianity long before Muhammad invented Islam.
And he hunted them first. And then he turned himself, his attention to the Byzantines. Because there was no more hunting. As you said, all the preys are dead.
Right.
So he had to look for other preys outside the territory of Arabia.
Yes, yeah, very much like Genghis and Kublai Khan. You know, once you have sucked all the blood that can be sucked out of a victim that's close, you have to expand your territory. And if you don't, once you build up, as Islam did, a militant mentality, after you build up the mentality of we're going to be barbarians, that we're going to prosper not by being industrious, but by being terrorists. And that's going to be our economy. We're going to be pirates. Once you do that, the pirates will turn on you if you don't constantly provide them with fresh meat. And the only way to do that is to expand your list of enemies to attack. And that's precisely what the Quran does when it's revealed chronologically, moving to the 9th and the 5th surah, making the primary enemy of Islam and therefore the victims to be preyed upon Christians. So, while you are correct that should Israel not exist, and the generals would be wrong, should Israel not exist, that it would not change the fact that Muslims would be chanting death to America, because that's how the Quran ends, and they know it. The fact is that they also blame their depraved state on Israel. And because America is thought to have a relationship with Israel, although I think it is counterproductive these days to Israel, they blame America for protecting Israel. And those who are ignorant of the Quran, those who are unaware of the teachings of Muhammad and Islam, buy into this lie. Now, why is it, do you think, IQ, Al-Rasuli, that Muslims are told that the reason that they are suffering is because of Jews as opposed to because of Islam itself?
Because to admit that it is because of Islam is committing suicide. By the way, no Muslim and no Arab has ever, throughout their history, blamed themselves for anything.
That is correct.
They always blame somebody else, whether it was Jews, whether it's Christians, whether white supremacists, whether Western imperialism or Hinduism or Buddhism. They are always the aggressors. They have never been the victims throughout their history.
Yeah, according to them. But if you survey the lands that have been corrupted by Islam, they are the most disadvantaged, the most depraved, the least civil places, the least free and economically prosperous places on earth to live. We'll return with IQ Al-Rasuli when Shattering Myths continues after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. We have IQ Al-Rasuli with us. So IQ, would based upon this knowledge of Islam, that in Islam, Muslims are told that Christians should be hunted down and killed. In fact, the Fifth Surah, which is written about to Christians as the enemy, specifically says that that those who make mischief in the land, which would be Christians, now as defined by the context, should be crucified, that they should have an arm and a leg cut off on one side or the other, and that that is their treatment, so that Allah can torture Christians in hell. So these generals that are speaking of the hatred of Muslims for America is based on Israel, not the Quran, would be ignorant and irrational. Is that not correct?
Well, I wouldn't call it ignorance. They're stupid. I associate ignorance with somebody who can't read or write or somebody who has no access to information. These are generals who have intelligence services at the click of a mouse. Yes, they come to these conclusions? I mean, how dare they come to these conclusions?
Yeah, I didn't say they were illiterate. The ignorant means lack of knowing. They have chosen not to know. They've chosen not to know, but they don't know, which means they're ignorant. And they're irrational in the sense that you can't get to that conclusion with the facts. You can only get to that conclusion by playing along with the myths. Now, that being the case, why is it rational? Why would it be appropriate for America to be the country that is trying to cut Israel into three pieces and give the Muslims two of those three pieces? Why would empowering them be in our interest when they're calling for our demise? Have you ever heard Netanyahu standing before the wall of the Temple Mount saying death to America?
No.
No.
So why would America, not a single Jew.
So why would we take the religious leader, the spokesperson for Muslims there in Israel, on top of the Temple Mount, saying death to America? Why would we sponsor giving them Israel?
Because your leaders are criminals.
Yeah, that's my view too.
Don't miss my words. You should know me by now.
Yeah.
They are criminals.
So when you empower your enemy,
in desperate circumstances.
Right. Yeah, when you aid and abet your enemy, is that not being a traitor?
Of course, that's what I just said. Traitor.
Right. So rather than America, which the Senate passed yesterday, unanimous resolution to punish any country economically that harbors Snowden, the person who revealed the fact that America's enemy now, according to the American government, is ordinary citizens, that shouldn't we actually incarcerate the Senate and the Congress and the generals and the President of the United States for acting as a traitor? When you empower your enemy, these are our stated enemy, aren't you being a traitor? Shouldn't we put the President of the United States in prison?
Yada, if you listen to my talks, for 4 years I've been saying he should be impeached. For 4 years I've been saying
more than impeached.
Obama should be impeached.
You know, impeached just means that he loses the office. Shouldn't he be convicted?
As trial, and they find him to be a guilty of treason.
Right.
It goes more than just impeachment.
Right. So he is providing weapons to those who are the stated enemy of America, and now he's trying to give a homeland to those who are the stated enemy of America. That is the epitome of treason.
Absolutely. They are the same people who were shouting and screaming and were happy when the Twin Towers were burning and
correct.
The Holocaust of 3,000 innocent Americans. These are the same people. They're changed.
So when the generals for America's military say that the only reason that Arabs, which they really mean Muslims but don't want to say it, hate us is because of Israel. So let's just let Israel go. Let them have Israel, which is the implication. Are they not also being treasonous?
Absolutely. My question to any general is simple. Before 1967, before the war of 6 Day War, there were no Jews in the West Bank. There was no occupation. There were no settlements. And the Arabs still hated the West. They still hated America. And they still hated Israel. So what has changed?
Right. Nothing. Nothing. That means you have to be ignorant of the facts, ignorant of history, and irrational to make the claims that America is making. And you actually are treasonous when you do these things. Speaking of treason, yesterday in the program, I mentioned something that is I'd like you to comment on. In Syria, the Pakistan Taliban has stated that they're supplying lots of mujahideen, hundreds upon hundreds upon thousands of mujahideen in Syria, and that they are providing the weapons for them, and that they're fighting alongside the anti-Assad rebellion with the al-Nusra Front. Aren't those the same Muslims that we are sending our drones to kill in Pakistan and that we're killing in Afghanistan, but we're providing arms for in Syria? How is it that we're providing arms and weapons for the same people that we're killing with our arms and weapons?
But that's not only the one. One reporter yesterday asked one of the State Department ladies about the Taliban. She said, we don't consider them terrorists. Yada, we are discussing people who are in power, who have no two brain cells of logic. There's no more logic here. It's totally irrational. The Taliban are destroying Pakistan. They're destroying Afghanistan. They're aiding the enemies of America. And this piece of garbage of a woman, not because she's a woman, she's saying that we don't consider them terrorists. So who do you consider terrorists? The Christians?
So if we don't, so let's take that to its natural conclusion. Since the purpose of going into Afghanistan was to topple the Taliban government, and now we say that we're in a war against terrorists in Afghanistan, and therefore if the Taliban aren't terrorists, who are we fighting in Afghanistan if the Taliban are not terrorists in our war against terrorism?
My question to you, which I agree with you, nobody asked her, then who are we fighting?
Right.
Why did 10,000 Americans die? For what? In the last 10 years? For what?
Why did we squander $6 trillion in a war against terrorism if the stated enemy in that war aren't terrorists?
Yada, I don't give a damn about $6 trillion. I give a damn about the American boys and girls who died for no reason. One American's life is equal to 10,000 Taliban. This is my calculation.
Yeah, but you know, also,
an American life is productive. A Taliban life is not productive.
Yes, but you know, also, as a consequence of America's invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, 1 million Iraqis and Afghanis died. We snuffed out the lives of 1 million people through our invasions. We did squander $6 trillion, which could have been used to do positive things in the world as opposed to make bad situations worse. And we lost 10,000 American lives. It reminds me a little bit, IQ, of World War II. In the Pacific Theater, the Japanese bombed a military installation, Pearl Harbor, that just said, you know, you can have us, we're going to lay down and pretend like we don't care. And they killed, as a result, 3,000 Americans. And then we sent American boys and girls off to war, and we lost 300,000 of them, avenging the death of 3,000. Is it moral to avenge the deaths of 3,000 by sacrificing 300,000 of your own?
Well, I don't discuss morality. What else could America have done?
Well, there's a lot of things. Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek?
No, but there's lots of ways that you can respond without sacrificing 300,000 boys to avenge the death.
Atom bomb at that time, I agree with you. If America at that time had the atom bomb, yes.
Did the Japanese invade Hawaii? Did they occupy Hawaii?
No.
No. So what was the moral reason for sacrificing 300,000 lives to avenge the death of 3,000? Because it's the same question as 9/11. On 9/11, Muslims flew planes into our buildings and they killed 3,000 Americans. Why was it appropriate to sacrifice 10,000 more American lives to avenge their deaths? Why is that a moral thing to do?
Maybe it's not a moral thing, but do you have another alternative?
Absolutely. As it relates to 9/11, I would have exposed and condemned Islam and said it is Islam that motivated this attack, and because Muslims, citing Allahu Akbar, flew their planes into our buildings, 2 hours from now, I am going to destroy the Kaaba. And if you are a Muslim and you are around the Kaaba and you don't want to die, you ought to leave that area because 2 hours from now, Mecca and the Kaaba are going to be turned to glass. And the next time a Muslim decides that it is appropriate to commit mass suicide in a suicide bombing in America, the next time we will bomb something every bit as valuable to you as your Kaaba. And I would have responded that way. I would not have sacrificed American lives to go after this religion. It was an immoral choice that we made. We made bad situations worse. We emboldened Islam. We actually created the Syrian war as a direct result of our invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. We did the most stupid thing we could possibly do, not much different than what we did in World War II.
I think
but you're continuing now. with all due respect, this government, this administration, is continuing with this blind behavior, completely blind. There is nothing rational about the behavior. They haven't learned anything, neither from World War II, nor from Vietnam, not from Korea, not from anything.
If you want to resolve a problem, you go to the root of the problem. If you want to resolve the problem of Muslims flying planes into our buildings, you go to the root of the problem, which is Islam, and you attack Islam. What is the most effective way to attack Islam? What is the single most important weapon that can be used against Islam? What are Muslims the most afraid of?
Knowledge.
Right.
Knowledge of Islam.
Truth. Right, truth. Knowledge. Evidence and reason is what they're most afraid of. That's the reason why they have lies punishable by death for saying anything against Islam. In any Islamic country, if you say anything against Islam, even if what you say comes directly out of the Islamic scriptural sources, you are condemned to die, because the thing that Muslims are the most afraid of, the weapon that would have undermined their credibility, is knowledge. It is the truth. It is evidence and reason. And that's what we should have deployed in the aftermath of 9/11. As a matter of fact, if we had used it before 9/11, it would not have occurred. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back with IQ Al-Rasuli in the last segment after the commercial break. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're here with IQ Al-Rasuli, and in the last segment, we're doing something that we normally wouldn't do, but because Muslims have told us that America is their enemy and America is being treasonous by rewarding its enemies, empowering, enriching, arming, and equipping its enemies, giving land to its enemies, and then literally arming terrorists, Muslim terrorists with one hand, and killing them to justify our military on the other hand. We talked briefly about how we would have responded to 9/11. And I want to equate that to World War II, if I may, IQ. I would have used a blunt stick to turn Mecca into glass. And I would have given the Muslims a warning. It might have been hours, might have been days to clear out of Mecca so that because we're going to destroy it. That would have been the sharp stick to the side of the head that now that I have your attention, I would have spent all the rest of the time using knowledge and reason, evidence and reason, to expose and condemn the true nature of Islam, which was the motivation for the flights that led to the suicide bombings of 9/11. By the same token, IQ, in World War II, the reason that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor was singular. Imperial Japan was based upon this myth that the emperor was God and that his chosen implements were the Japanese and that therefore they were entitled to expand their control of inferior people and therefore to expand their influence and control over those people. The only thing that stood in their way was the American Navy. And so they ended the American Navy's capacity to interfere with them. The same thing would have been true if you asked how would I have responded to the Japanese attack. I would have told the Russians that we will withdraw from Europe and our support of the English and the rest of our fighting Nazi Germany, we'll stop supplying you with food and with weapons, and you can fight Hitler all by yourself, or you give us Vladivostok. And I would have used Vladivostok as the place to launch bomber wave after bomber wave over Tokyo, right over the palace, to kill the emperor. And then once I had their attention, I would explain that what they're doing is savage, and I would have used evidence and reason, but I would have gotten their attention first. That's how I would have responded. I would not have sacrificed 300,000 American lives, just like I would not have sacrificed 10,000 American lives to deal with the suicide bombings of 9/11. It's immoral.
I like it. No, I like your idea. I agree.
Yeah.
You know something? I don't know if you realize this. There's no human being on planet Earth and no intelligent life outside the solar system who can debate you or debate me these subjects and win.
No, it's true. Yeah, that's true. And it's not because we are special in the sense that we are uniquely gifted. You may be. I would never claim to be. The issue is that...
I never said that, to be fair.
Right, right. So it's not because you and I are uniquely gifted. It is because we have taken the time, we have invested the time to learn the truth. We've become knowledgeable, and we have the character and conviction, the compassion to tell people the truth, to use evidence and reason effectively, to expose and condemn the most lethal dogma that man has ever conceived, the most destructive, the most deceitful, and the most lethal, deadly dogma in human history. And all we're doing is exposing it for what it is. And as such, you're right. There is
did
no Muslim that
item?
Can refute any of this.
Yeah, did you realize another item? We have completely and utterly discredited Muhammad as a prophet. Because since we have proven beyond a shadow or even a reasonable doubt that Allah is not God,
right,
then Muhammad is a charlatan.
Correct.
Which
yeah,
of course he is.
Yes, Muhammad's, Allah's principal claim in Muhammad's recital, his Quran, is that he is the God of the Torah. That he is the God of Abraham and of Yishak and of Jacob. That's his primary claim, and that his Torah his Quran confirms the Torah. And since the opposite is true, if you just know those facts, if you know that Allah claims that his Quran confirms the Torah, when the opposite is true, now that requires knowledge. It requires reason. But when you find that the antithesis of what Allah claimed is true, and mind you, in the Torah, Yahweh says, I have but one name. Yahweh is my name, and a god by any other name is a false god. By saying that the Quran confirms the Torah, Allah presented himself as a complete and bogus liar. And so it is, IQ, as always. It is evidence and reason that wins the day with those who are rational. And with those who are religious, there's no way to reach them because they are immune to such things. Thank you, IQ. We'll be with you next week.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.